2020 was a challenging year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Mike Anderson with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. My guest this week is Game and Fish Director Terry Steinwan. Terry, let's talk about 2020.
Well, like everybody else, not only in North Dakota, but across the world, 2020 was challenging. We did have to close our doors except by appointment only, not only in the Bismarck office, but our field offices across the state. But that didn't seem to really affect us because a few years ago, we went to almost solely electronic licensing, so people could get a license very, very easily. And just this past year, thank goodness, we actually went to electronically for boat registration, and being the first year of a new three-year period for resident watercraft, that worked fantastic. So that worked really well. Now, it kind of set us on our heels a little bit, but again, the great staff at Game and Fish, I just can't say enough about them. They adapted. And some examples of that are our fisheries crew go out and spawn in the spring. Well, they built plexiglass barriers and they were wearing face masks, so on and so forth. Many states around us and across the nation absolutely canceled those activities. And you say, well, okay, that's not really that important. Well, it is, because this isn't just affecting 2020. It's affecting years down the road, whether it's northern pike or whether it's walleye or yellow perch or trout or whatever. We stock those walleye at about 1.5 to 2.5 inches long, so they have to grow out. And if we miss a year, sometimes it doesn't hurt, but if you're missing a year class, it could really disrupt that fishery.
Terry, another thing that was canceled early on, you know, a lot of the sporting events were getting canceled around the state, and we also had an event in March that had we chose to cancel.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. And very unfortunate, our National Archery in the Schools program, or NASP, had to be canceled again because of COVID. And I know there were an awful lot of disappointed kids out there. We were disappointed because that's a tremendous event. Usually get over 1,000 participants in that, and they just weren't able to have it this year and maintain that social distancing and the safety of everybody there.
Okay, in addition to our spawning efforts with walleye and northern pike, our waterfowl biologists and upland game biologists continued their surveys as well.
North Dakota was the only state in the Central Flyway, which is composed of 11 central states in the United States, from North Dakota through to Texas and either side of it. We were the only state in that Central Flyway to conduct the annual May waterfowl survey. And again, that's testament to Mike Szymanski and his crew that, hey, we need that information. And I think we are one of the longest, the only state to have a long term, and it's 70 plus years that we've been doing it. So that's really, really good trend information. And as with spawning and missing stocking a year class, missing that class could put a little blip in that, which I know Mike didn't want to do.
Okay, and our upland game biologists conducted their surveys.
Yep, they conducted the roadside, of course, the crowing counts in the spring of the year, which isn't all that difficult. Those are usually solitary events, so you're really not around people. And same with the fall brood surveys, pretty solitary. And again, the public benefits from that information.
And a lot of these, obviously all these surveys are, like you said, either by themselves or we've adapted. It's outdoors.
Right. Yeah, and the governor has said, get outside. You no better place to social distance than getting outside in North Dakota. Well, you still have to social distance, but there were, if you go out fishing, I know I went fishing in the boat with my son quite a bit this summer, but honestly, we were more than 6 feet apart. I don't have a huge boat, but I got an 18-foot boat. He's at the front, I'm at the back. We're socially distanced. Same with hunting. Yeah, just getting outside and enjoying the fresh air, just what North Dakota has to offer, just a gorgeous state. And this fall was even more gorgeous than usual, even though we were fairly dry. It was just a beautiful fall to be out there hunting or just being outside, bird watching, whatever it might be.
Well, let's talk about our fisheries, Terry. We have some of the best walleye fishing right now, and I believe we stocked a record amount of walleye fingerlings this year as well.
Right, it was darn close to it. If it wasn't a record, it was darn close to it. And again, Jerry Weigel, who really supervises that spawn take and works with the National Hatcheries in North Dakota, they did a great job. And again, without that, we wouldn't have the fishery we do. Now, Lake Sakakawea, yeah, we get some pretty good natural reproduction there, but places like Devil's Lake and some of these smaller lakes that weren't even lakes 25 years ago. They're seeing the benefit, and it, you know, this time of the year when ice fishing should be going on full force, those are the times where people really should appreciate what our fisheries division does for them.
And hunting, first of all, we should mention hunter education. That's the other thing we really had to adapt in 2020.
Yeah, good point. I forgot to bring that up. But yeah, again, boy, talk about adapting on the fly. We actually had to put out some criteria for in-person classes that some classes were just about through. But again, when the pandemic hit, we said, you know, if you have more than 10 kids in that class, you probably need to cancel it. So we worked with a company that actually provides that online hunter education class, and they actually cut a break for the students to go in there. So it was online, and we said anybody that takes that class has until the end of the year, until December 31st, 2020, to take that practical test, and they could then be certified. If they don't take that practical test by December 31st, they're gonna have to take the class again. And again, Marty Eglund and his crew, they have worked overtime, going around to places, getting people signed up, the people that have taken the online class, and doing those.
Okay, upland game numbers and big game numbers are also up.
Yep, we had a relatively mild winter last year in 2019, early 2020. And it really showed our upland bird numbers, and you know, pheasants and grouse and partridge, Hungarian partridge really seemed to blossom this past year. There've been some good pockets out there, but I've probably seen more partridge this fall than I'd seen in 20 years. And same with deer numbers. Again, thanks to the mild winter, didn't have a lot of deer depredation last winter, and as a result, that deer population grew.
And we can't leave out our enforcement division.
Right, enforcement, again, they have a difficult job. And of course, Bob Timian retired the end of August, and Scott Winkleman is the new enforcement chief. And Scott did a wonderful job as an investigation supervisor, so he has just seamlessly flowed into that new position. So I don't expect any changes in enforcement. And again, they have a difficult job.
Terry, let's move into 2021. Legislative session starts in January. Mm-hmm. Any rumors or any upcoming legislation?
Well, the only legislation that I'm sure is going to go in is on electronic posting. There was an interim natural resource committee that was charged with the last legislative session of studying electronic posting and choosing up to three counties to do an e-posting trial, or electronic posting trial for landowners. And they chose Richland, Ramsey, and Slope County. At the end of September, they actually came out with three draft bills coming out of that interim natural resource committee. The first one did say that they're going to expand the pilot study to all 53 counties and include a penalty with electronic posting as it is for physical posting, because this last year, even though they electronically posted, they still had to physically post because there was no penalty for trespassing on electronically posted land. The second one would basically say, well, we're just going to go with it. We're going to put a penalty into it in for electronic posting. And the third one is a little more complicated because it's criminal trespass and hunting trespass. And the criminal trespass portion of it said anything enclosed by a fence would be automatically posted. Now, I know there's some wording in the works that I haven't seen yet that would exclude licensed hunters and anglers. They could do it unless posted close to hunting or fishing. And they also changed the word, if you have a sign out there, again for criminal trespass, that said you may put your name on it if you want to be contacted. It currently says you must put your name on it. I know there was a little problem with that with the sportsman's representatives on that committee, so where that's going to go, I guess I'm not really sure. And then that same thing, not the fence portion, but the may and must was on a hunting trespass. And again, I have not seen the final language on that those bills yet. In terms of other legislation, I've heard rumors of probably 10 other bills coming in that would affect sportsmen or game and fish directly. I don't ever put stock in rumors. I wait until I see the bill. We'll prepare for some of those, just in case they do come in, but until we actually see the language, it's really difficult to say that, hey, here's what we're gonna do.
Okay, let's move on to some of the challenges for Game and Fish in 2021.
Right. Well, yeah, we've said this for years. Chronic wasting disease, or CWD, it's here on the landscape. It really is here to stay. So that's a continual challenge that we're hoping to step up and do a little bit more to just contain it to where it's at right now. We're never going to get it off the landscape in those areas, but let's contain it to those areas so it doesn't go elsewhere. And of course, aquatic nuisance species. Ben Holen out of our Jamestown office is our aquatic nuisance species coordinator, and Ben's doing just a tremendous job. And even during the pandemic, they're out there, they're inspecting boats, they're sampling lakes. And of course, the last one is the R3, or recruitment, retention, reactivation. North Dakota has kind of resisted the decline in hunting and fishing that we've seen nationwide. We don't want to wait to see if that happens in North Dakota. So we've actually hired an individual to coordinate that. But it's not just that individual's job. It's everybody in the department's job. We have to work together, and actually the public. If you're interested in hunting and fishing, we're going to ask you to help out to some extent too. We're not asking for time or money. We're asking you to buy into that philosophy that we want to do this for future generations. I have kids and grandkids that I hope they have even a semblance of the opportunities that I've had for hunting and fishing in North Dakota.
Terry, 2020's ending. What's 2021 going to look like?
I think, again, with the mild winter, I think we can expect some good bird numbers, if it continues, and good deer numbers. And fishing, again, Greg Power in that fisheries division, you're going to have another great year of fishing. Now, again, we heard some complaints on Lake Sakakawea this year, and there was really good fishing up there. But fish swim, they're not always going to be in the same place, and that smelt population is actually doing pretty good, so we got some great growth. And sometimes that makes for a little tough fishing, though. But in terms of fish populations, they are doing tremendous.
A lot of great information, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
For more information about the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, visit gf.nd.gov.
For Game and Fish Director Terry Steinwan and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us for this week's program. We'll see you again next week.